Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen. Hey, friend.
Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Busy season of life, I think, for me, but overall, I'm doing well.
Yeah. We're doing good over here. Oh, go on.
Yeah. No, I was going to say this week, I've had a lot of writing assignments, as you know.
Yeah.
And one of the things I got to do, I got to stop and go to an event at my church. My pastor released a book and it's really, really good. And I really want to take a moment. I'm taking a moment here to just talk about it for a second, if that's okay with you, because I really love it a lot. Yeah. So my pastor, Matt Chandler, wrote a book called The Overcomers. And I think I was talking to someone yesterday and they were like, they didn't really like the title because they thought it was like a, you're worthy, you're an overcomer. And I'm like, do you know?
That's kind of what I thought it was. Like, I kept thinking of the one song, you're an overcomer.
Oh, Mandiza. Mandiza. Yes. No. The book is on the book of Revelation. And it's based off of the sermon series that he did, which honestly was one of the best sermon series I've ever sat under him. Truly, I don't know about you or our listeners, but the book of Revelations terrified me. I have specific memories as a kid of like, one in particular is I was in, like, we had a pool at our house, and anytime my parents would go inside, I thought the rapture came. I was terrified, or like I would go to sleep. And I had this like vision of like the rapture coming while I was sleeping, and then it was terrible. And then like all the Left Behind books, I read every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And this book really reoriented me and gave me like delight in God instead of dread. And it encouraged me that, you know, and I tell my kids this all the time. Matt says it in his book, like, you are made for today, for this moment in history. God, from the foundation of the world, had you for this moment in history. And so that's kind of what the title is about. Like, you mm-hmm. don't have to fear. God's not taken by surprise by anything. And he talks about the rapture, and he talks about all the things. I really want to recommend it. It's called Overcomers. But it's about the book of Revelation. So he had a book launch and it was beautiful.
Oh, fun.
Really sweet evening. And so that, all that to say, recommend the book. And that's what I did this week.
Yeah. I think that same night that you had the book launch was the same night that we had tornado weather.
Yeah.
Because so I think I sent you a picture of Matt and myself and our dog and cat holed up in the bathroom because, oh no, I knew that we were going to get some severe weather. And I guess it was probably about 9 o'clock and tornado sirens went off. And I was like, okay. Which in Ohio, I don't know if it's the way everywhere, but in Ohio, if your tornado siren goes off, I think it just means that there's one in your county, which for us, our county is really, really big. Like, it runs from the edge of the state line, Indiana-Ohio border, all the way to like past east of us, kind of to 75. Mm-hmm. So like, it's a big area because it's always been farmland. Like, it's just been within the last few years that a lot of people have been moving out here and kind of building it up out here. So it's always been farmland. So it was just big counties out here. So I was like, Butler County, like, there's one somewhere. Like, we're a huge county. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but we should probably turn on the news just to see, because Matt and I don't necessarily watch the news ever. And side note, when we're talking about the news, I'll get back to my tornado story in a minute. But I wanted to, you plugged Matt's book. I'm going to plug a company. I'm going to call it a company because I don't know what else to call it, but it's a news company. It's called The Pour Over News. Pour, P-O-U-R.
It's fantastic. I
I
have
was going
it.
to
I
say,
use
I'm
it.
sure a lot of people know about it.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine had told me, because I think they make like a kid's version of it, or send out like a kid's where you like gives you ways to talk about what's going on in the world to your kids. But it's all from like a Bible gospel centered place. And so it does really well of reminding you, like, hey, these are things that you should know that's going on in the world, but let's talk about what the Bible has to say about, something about that
And
situation.
it's not coming from any political standpoint,
No,
which
it's all across,
yes, greatly appreciate. It's
and
factual
yeah,
and biblical,
it's really good. So I typically get my news from the Pour Over. I get an email and then I follow their Instagram. And so we don't watch the local news or anything. And so we turned on the local news and they say, well, there's a tornado in Oxford, which is like maybe 20 minutes from us west. And they're like, and it's headed east. And I watch and I see the line. And then he starts, like, after maybe 15 minutes, he starts calling out and he says, our city, Trenton, you need to take cover. And I look at Matt, I said, it was like, yeah, we should probably go, huh? He's like, yeah, probably. So we don't have a basement at our house. My parents that live like 5 minutes down the road don't have a basement at their house either. They go into like an interior closet, but that closet's big enough for the two of them. It's not big enough for four of us and three animals. So we just went to the base, or not the basement, the bathroom, because that's the next best place, because we don't have really any other interior rooms. Everything's on an exterior room or exterior wall. But we're a brick house, so I felt a little bit safer being in on an exterior wall, but still with the reinforcement of the bathroom plumbing and stuff. So that was a fun adventure that we got to hang out in a hot bathroom for like 30 minutes. But
That's
thankfully everything was fine.
exciting.
It didn't hit Trenton. There were a couple of tornadoes that touched down. One
Yeah.
threw a grain bin into the middle of the yard, into the middle of the road, but otherwise, I haven't heard of any, deaths or anything. So
That's
that's
good. It's
really
been
great.
wild. It's been wild here. And
It's been a, I
then,
feel like it's just
and
been a lot of tornadoes this spring.
yeah. And like Oklahoma, it's where my husband's family is.
Yeah.
They've had some significant tornadoes and bad weather. And our tornado sirens went off a little while ago, a couple weeks ago. And then I come to find out after we get like everybody situated and reviewed with our kids what we do, our sirens go off for like multiple reasons, apparently, because it was
Like for
going off, but it was
thunderstorms.
like, well, it was like hail specifically. Like, if a certain amount of
Oh.
hail is in the region, the alarm will go off. So I'm like, everyone's just panicking because you're like, a tornado's coming. And they're like,
Yeah.
no, get your cars in your garage,
Yeah. Well, and in Ohio, the first Wednesday, for most places, the first Wednesday of every month, at
Yeah.
noon, they turn on,
Here too.
them on. Okay, I was gonna say, I know some places do, some places don't.
On a
So I've
sunny
always
day.
thought, I was like, man, if we ever have a tornado that hits at that same time, everyone's gonna ignore it. Like, what happens? How do you just keep it going for even longer to make sure people know, hey, this is a real one?
This is not a drill.
I
This is not a
don't know.
drill.
We're not testing
Okay.
it. Anyways,
Anyway.
that's Shanna and Kristen's weather update. We don't do this often, but we wanted to jump into today's episode. So today's episode, we get to discuss the glory of God. And I think that's something that we hear a lot in the church community, right? We'll say that God is working all things for his glory and our good. We'll say that we're to glorify God in everything we do. And it's even in scripture, right? And these are all very true and very important statements, but just saying them doesn't give us an idea of what exactly is God's glory or the glory of God. Why is it a big deal? And these are questions that we need to ask, and they're valid questions. And we even can have some natural objection that if God is after his own glory, does that mean he's self-centered? Like, that's a question that would come out of talking about God being jealous for his glory. And how is him being jealous for his glory a good thing for us? And so we hope that in this conversation that it helps us understand that it's only right for God to be after his own glory, and that his self-glorification is actually a means to true joy and delight for us.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with someone recently, and they were, even me just saying this makes me feel yucky, but like it's true, you know. They were like, it kind of makes him sound like a narcissist. This is not a believer, obviously talking. Which I mean, I think some people could also be like, well, I mean, I understand because of the lens that we're looking at
From the
it
outside with a
through.
worldly lens, absolutely.
Yeah, and so I was like, well, let's have this conversation then, because I think that'll be, hopefully this will be really helpful. And so I think we need to kind of define what we mean by glory. And so I'm gonna nerd out for a second. We are going to look at the original language very briefly. And so we're gonna start. The Hebrew word that's translated into English as glory in the Old Testament is the word kavod. So this appears 202 times in the Old Testament. Like, that's a lot. That's pretty significant. And so this word has this original meaning of like heaviness or weight, which develops this idea of significance, like the majesty of something. It's like a really heavy word. And then in the Greek, we have the word doxa, and that occurs 167 times in the New Testament. And the original meaning for that is like kind of like the way that you estimate something. So this is the idea of something having really great importance. And so as these terms developed, it came to mean honor, praise, splendor, majesty. And so what do those words mean for God's glory? So, in context, if we're going to talk about those words in context, we can see that there are two different kinds of God's glory that we see in scripture. And so, the first is what we would say his intrinsic glory. This is the revelation of who he is. It's all his character, it's all his attributes, it's all of his holiness, it's all of his divinity. It is all of who he is on display. And so the thing about God's intrinsic glory is that you can't add to it or take away from it. It's who he is. And then the second kind that we see in scripture, it's his ascribed glory. And so this is the glory that we give to God. It's declaring what is true about him. It's proclaiming his glorious character and praising him. And it's us worshiping him for who he is. And so, you know, we see this in Psalms 29 2. It says, ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. And so here we are proclaiming and stating what is true about him. Psalms 96 7 says, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. So we are not endowing God with glory or strength. These things are already true about him. We're just proclaiming them. So it's this idea of like we have his intrinsic glory on display already. It's all of who he is. And then we have his ascribed glory. And that is us kind of worshiping, proclaiming, and stating those things that are already true about him.
So I think in order to as Psalm says, ascribe to God the glory that he is rightly due. We would need to see his glory ourselves so that we can proclaim it, right? You can't proclaim something that you do not see and recognize. And in order to do that, we have to ask ourselves, where is God's intrinsic glory or his character revealed? And we see it in a few different places, right? First and foremost, we see it in creation. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." That is so incredible to think about, that the heavens, the universe composed of billions of galaxies, the most beautiful mountain ranges, the sunrises, the sunsets. I prefer sunsets over sunrises because I don't want to wake up early. Anyways,
Facts.
all of these things, though, are like God's fingerprints. They're just mere images that point to the majestic nature of God. And this recognizing this can really cultivate a deeper love for God because it really does show his glory. This his the heavens declaring his glory, it's God's general revelation. Romans 1:19 through 20 says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made." This verse is saying God's existence is clearly and unmistakably seen in everything he's created and continues to sustain. Creation is a clear witness about the nature and character of God, and it's his general revelation that all of us can see. But it's not just in creation that we see his glory, but another place that we see his glory is displayed in his son, Jesus. Scripture tells us that Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the son is fully God. We see Jesus displaying the Father's glory in a couple different places, right? John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And later in verse 18, it says that no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. The Son incarnate, Jesus Christ, reveals who the Father is. We also see that in Hebrews 1:3, it says he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the exact imprint of the nature of God and that he radiates this glory. It's incredible to think about when you're thinking about the life of Christ and all of the things that he did. And the last thing that we're going to talk about of another place that God's glory is revealed is in his word. One of the things that we are most passionate about is equipping women to know and love God's word because the Bible is a book about God. It shows us who he is. It is his very words. It is God's revelation of himself to man. And his intrinsic glory is a revelation of who he is. We can see his nature throughout scripture. We've talked about how the story of scripture and the grand narrative of scripture on the podcast before, and that when we study the story of scripture, we see God's redemptive nature throughout it all. And we spent season one talking about his attributes. We got all of that because it is in his word. We didn't just make up these attributes and said, "Oh, I think God is just. Oh, I think God is love. I think God is, truth." We got all of those from his word as we went over that in season one. We see in every single verse of the Bible, God's character is revealed. And that's how we should be reading scripture, looking for who God is and how then that informs how we live.
Yeah, absolutely. So we see God in nature. We see him revealed in the Son, and we see him revealed in his word. And one day when Christ returns, we will see the glory of God fully because God will dwell with us. We say that God is omnipresent, that he's everywhere. And I mean, this is true. He is. We have the presence of the Lord with us, but one day we will experience what is called his manifest presence, and we will see him fully with us. He will be in the midst of us and we will fully see his glory. Man, and that is like incredible to think about. Revelations 21 tells us that the dwelling place of God will be with man, which is how it was always supposed to be, right? Back in Genesis, back in the garden. And I think like that's such an important theme. If this is off topic, I mean, it's not off topic, off our notes for a second, but I think it's such a beautiful thing to like trace this idea of dwelling all throughout scripture, because you see a forgetful people. You see people who, man, he is chasing after. Like God's like, I will dwell with you. And like so much so that I swear by my own name that I will dwell with you. You know, I get chills just thinking about that. But we see this idea, we get this glimpse of his glory now, and we can rejoice in that. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." So as we look at God and his character, it's almost like looking into this window that it's like frosted glass. I think it's, I'm going to get my theologians mixed up. Pretty sure it's Augustine, maybe it's C.S. Lewis, wildly different time zone or time periods, but I feel like it's Augustine. I don't know. That says it's kind of like looking through a stained glass window. So like no matter what you do, you're going to, you can like, you can remove yourself, you can get farther back, but it's like looking through a stained glass window. But then one day that's going to be clear, right? One day that stained glass window will be removed and you'll be able to fully see the glory of God completely. And this reminds me of like the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which I even referred to back, I think, last episode, two episodes ago, I don't remember. But it's that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So this idea of giving God glory, that is what we're created for, right? That's our chief end, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Oh, we said earlier that God does everything for his glory, right? Romans 11:36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." And that verse is telling us that the appropriate goal of everything is that God be glorified. Scripture is absolutely packed full of verses that tell us that our purpose is to glorify God. And not only is our purpose to glorify God, but God is actually after his own glory as well. And I think that's the sticking point that a lot of people struggle with. They can say, okay, my job is to glorify God. But how is that idea of God being jealous or after his own glory as well? So Isaiah 48 9 says, "For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." I think it's pretty clear here that God is after his own glory, and there's countless other scriptures that prove that exact same point, right?
Okay, yeah, and that brings us to really some objections that come up a lot, right? Or maybe a question. Isn't it self-centered and selfish to want everyone to worship and praise you? I could see how someone outside the faith could look at that and kind of see it as self-centered. I think this naturally brings up some negative feelings or feelings of resistance at first, because we've been conditioned to be against any degree of self-centeredness, right? By culture, like we meet or we know people like this, and then we often seem offended because they seem so incapable of loving other people too. Like they only love themselves. And so we take this human situation or illustration and then apply it to God. And that's where everything falls apart, because God isn't lacking. He isn't looking to us to praise him because he needs us to praise him, or because he's deficient in anything. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need us to praise him. John Piper said, God's God-centeredness is not in any way sinful. It is not narcissism. Because the truth is, God is the only one worthy of all honor and praise. He's perfect. He's most holy. He's eternal. He's most loving. He's pure. He's infinitely holy and righteous. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him." So we see that he is the one who created all things, and it was created for him, you know, like the stars in the sky, the planets that orbit the sun, the flowers and the pretty butterflies that are outside right now that I can't enjoy because my allergies hate Texas, apparently. Animals in the wild, all of those things willingly submit to the purpose of glorifying God. They don't revolt or seek their own glory and admiration, but we do. So that's what distinguishes us, our sinful nature. We seek our own glory. You know, Romans 1:23 says, we exchange the glory of God for the glory of created things. And so when we look at this idea that God's about his own glory, we can see that God is actually focused on the thing that he should be focused on, and we're not. If there is anything that deserves honor and glory, it is God and God alone.
And it's good and right, that everything should be for God's glory, because like you said, he's the only one that actually deserves it. Not the things that we try to put glory on, but he is the one that actually deserves it. It's right for him to be about his own glory, because God is God and we aren't. And so when we think about the glory of God, we think about his beauty, his character on display, his splendor of who he is. That's what leads us to love him. It's when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see that glory and to understand what is offered to us that we come to salvation. It's knowing that in him we find salvation, and in him we find true joy and satisfaction and happiness. We try so often to look at beauty around us and try to find happiness in those created things. Like you said in Romans, we exchange the glory of God for the glory of created things. But the truth is that all the beauty in the world is just a shadow of his true glory. And this is what brings us true and lasting joy. Psalm 16:11 says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." When we look at this God who is self-exalting and glorifying himself, we need to realize that this is an act of love. Because if God is glorified, then we see his glory and we delight in him. John Piper says it like this: if God were not self-exalting, he would not be loving. If God were hiding his glory from us, then he would not be loving and offering us himself. So we may look at it and think that this is really selfish and really egotistical. But God glorifying himself is for our good and our joy. And I think we have that selfish and egotistical viewpoint, like you said, because it's marred by sin, because we can't imagine being that way, sin-free, like having that jealousy and that, like you said, being f exalting himself and glorifying himself, absence of sin. We just can't comprehend that. Because God is sinless and perfect, he can. And we know that God is offering the very best to us, which is himself. And so that leaves us, or it should leave us, in awe. We who rejected the glory of God because of our sinful nature, we're still given clear revelation of the very glory that we rejected. So that in order that we might return, so that or in order that we might turn in repentance. And that's a tremendous grace. And that is really the story of redemption that we see throughout the entire Bible. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." This is complete grace that all believers have access to God through Christ and behold and can behold the glory of the Lord and be transformed into Christ likeness.
Yeah. What a difference it makes when we change our perspective, right? Because we naturally have like these like sinful minds, right? And we said it earlier, we try to ascribe to God human like feelings or limitations or something that's just not there, right? We can see from start to finish, God's self-glorification is for our good and should increase our joy. And as we see his glory, we become more like him. His self-glorification is for our growth as believers. An example that I think of is this like cure for cancer, right? If someone discovered a cure, the most loving thing would be for them to make it known to everyone around the world, right? Like, come and be healed, come and be healed. They wouldn't keep it to themselves. I have this, come and be healed. And that's what God does. That's what he's saying. He puts his glory on display. He says that I am salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. Come and live. Come and be healed. For God to glorify himself is love because he's offering himself to us. He's offering life to people who are dead in sin and are in need of healing. So when the glory of God is put on display, man, lost sinners come to salvation. People who are far will be brought near. And that is so beautiful to think about. It's like the proper response to all of this is one of our favorite sayings, right? Sola Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone. Don't you have a t-shirt, I think, that says that on there,
I
or
do. I have a
hoodie?
t-shirt. I think I've
Yeah.
got a necklace
Necklace,
that
yeah.
says it too.
Because that is life. That is our life, man. It is seeing and responding to the glory of God and then grabbing others and saying, hey, this is the way to salvation. Come and be healed and let them gaze upon the glory of God and be transformed, right? So if anything, I think, how is God's jealousy for his glory a good thing? It's life and death. Like, it's so important that it is life and death. And it should bring us, just like in our banter earlier, I was talking about Revelations and how it brought this sense of like dread and fear for me. I was terrified. But really, it is this beautiful book that really brings delight for God's people. And that's how I think about, God's glory and his jealousy is it should bring joy and delight for us, right? As we are, as my pastor would call it, we're currently on our long journey home, right? I feel like that should be a song. It might be. We're on our long journey home and we're in this process of sanctification. And it's always like turning our gaze back to God and his glory that like redirects us. That was a whole massive tangent. I don't know. I think it's beautiful. Come and be healed.
Absolutely.
Come and be healed.
Well, friends, that is our episode about the glory of God and how God is jealous for his own glory and how that is a very good thing for us. And until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.